Hey, good morning. It's great to be back after being on vacation, and it's good to see some of your faces that I haven't seen in a while because you've been on lots of vacations. Welcome back if you've been traveling. We're glad that you're worshiping with us, and if you've been around all summer, thank you for being around all summer. We're glad that you're here too. Anybody not gone on vacation yet, but you're planning to? Yeah, a few more. I always like having my vacations towards the end of the summer. That way I just have something to look forward to all summer. You know, taking it June 1st and then it's over, it's just like, what's the point? But anyway, it's great to be back. Thanks to Gideon. He's actually traveling out of town on vacation this week, but thanks to him for filling in for me last week. So if you were here, you were a part of that. And Gideon always does a great, great job, so I appreciate that. Just to let you know where we're going next week. Today, Joseph and Jennifer from the Tanya Center in Kenya are coming in town. They've been in Canada for the last month or so. They were at a conference and then visiting friends and all that. And so we found out they were going to be that close, and we said, if you're going to be on the continent, we got to get you to Virginia. And so we worked it out for them to come down, so they're going to be with us for about a week and a half, almost 2 weeks. Here we'll be hosting them, and they're coming in this afternoon. And so they will be up here next Sunday telling part of their story of Tanya. They're going to be telling some of the things that are currently going on right now. One of the things that our alignment team has decided to do, we've been talking about this for a while with the Tanya Center, is help them financially raise some funds for a project that they're doing, a solar project that's really going to alleviate a lot of the financial burdens that they have as a school. So Joseph's going to be talking a little bit about that next week too. So you definitely want to be here if you are in town next Sunday to hear from Joseph and Jennifer. Also, they're going to be here, like I said, for a couple of weeks. So if you're interested in connecting with them, we've got several events planned. We still have some open places where we need to kind of fill in people helping out to get them to either have them over for a meal or take them out for a meal. So if you're interested in that, see me or see Elise and we'll get you plugged in to some of that. And then the other thing, our students, our middle and high school students are away this weekend at Lake Gaston for their much anticipated annual lake trip to Lake Gaston, and they are having a blast down there. They've sent back some pictures. We've posted them on our Facebook page, and we'll be posting a few more this afternoon. So check those out and continue to pray for our students as they finish up their retreat and come back home tomorrow. So with all that, let's go to God in prayer real quick. God, we thank you just for an opportunity to worship you and to focus on you. Thank you for just a season in our culture where we can get a little bit of rest through the summer months. And hopefully we've all been able to do that in one way or another, whether it's getting out of town for a vacation or just changing up our routine here. But I do pray that we all would get the rest that we need. And then we just pray for Joseph and Jennifer as they get ready to travel here. That you just keep them safe and that all their connections would go smoothly. And we just anticipate just a wonderful time of reconnecting with them and being with them and hearing just more of their hearts and more of their stories about what they're doing to serve special needs kids at Tanya. And we just thank you and praise you for just this opportunity to be able to be with them. And then, God, we pray for our students who are away, and we just pray that they would have a great time at the lake. We pray that they would just have a great time welcoming some of the new students who are entering into the seventh grade. We pray that they would just have a great time of connecting with Lex, our new youth pastor, and him connecting with them, and then keep them safe as they travel tomorrow. And God, just open our hearts and our minds this morning to what you want us to know, but ultimately what you want us to do with what we know. In Christ's name I pray, amen. So we're finishing up this series we've been in for quite a while, actually 5 weeks, but it's been spread out over more than that. Wise, unwise, we're talking about what's the wise thing to do. And as we start this morning, what I want you to do is I want you to imagine with me for a minute. I just want you to imagine an artist's canvas, just a canvas that an artist would use, just to kind of illustrate where we're going this morning. And this canvas that you're imagining, it represents your life. And see, there's a sense in which you are creating on a blank canvas, and it's not really blank anymore, but it was at one point, but you're essentially creating a piece of art that's called your life, right? It's entitled Your Life. And in your life, you started this art piece at about 15 or 16, maybe a little bit earlier, a little bit later, and you've been painting on that canvas ever since. And you're going to fill that canvas with your life. It's going to be a piece of art that represents you, your life. And here's the deal, and this is important, I think, for where we're going this morning. All of us, when it comes to painting on our canvases, We all need intervention, don't we? And here's what I mean by that. Have you ever seen artwork that was done by a really, really young child? And you know what I mean? Sometimes it's hard to even know what it is, right? If you're a parent, you've been there, you've done this. Your 2-year-old, your 3-year-old, your kindergartner's brought a piece of artwork home, and you had to ask them what it was, didn't you? You didn't want to guess because you knew you'd probably be wrong and hurt their feelings and all of that. But if you take that child and you put them in the presence of a real artist, someone who knows how to paint, and that person can kind of guide that child's hand and can help them create a really, really nice piece of art. A master artist teaching a child how to paint, helping them to get the details just right. You combine that master artist with that child's creativity and uniqueness, and you come up with a really, really neat piece of artwork that's really, really beautiful. And here's where we're going today. The same is true for us. In our lives, in life, all of us basically need somebody holding our hand and guiding us to help us with the details as we create what is our life. So we've been talking about making wise decisions, right? And here's the question we've been asking in light of my past experience, my current circumstances, and my future hopes and dreams: what is the wise thing for me to do? And we said that at every opportunity, at every invitation we have, every decision we have to make, that we want to pause and ask this question, and then we want to act on this question so that it becomes a filter for all of our decision-making in life. But in order to make wise decisions, there's one more component that we have to talk about this morning, and it's both kind of a thinking thing and a creative thing. And here's what I mean by that. To make wise decisions in any arena, to make wise decisions in any arena requires an understanding of and a submission to the principles and rules that govern that arena. Let me say that again. To make wise decisions in any arena requires an understanding of and a submission to the principles and the rules that govern that arena. Now, let me explain what that means, because I think this is really important for where we're going. To make wise decisions in any arena or any area of life requires an understanding of and a submission to the principles that govern that area of life. Let me give you some examples. If you're a coach in some sport, right, that soccer, baseball, football, whatever it is, to be a great coach, you have to make wise decisions, don't you? You have to make good decisions. And in order to make good decisions as a coach in that sport, you have to understand and submit to the rules and principles that relate to that sport. If you don't understand and submit to the rules and principles of the sport that you coach, you will not make wise decisions as a coach. Another example, we have a team here that's been working with an architect for the last few months to create a design for a canopy, a covering coming into our building. We're actually going to make a presentation after this worship on where we are with that. But if you're an architect, the same thing applies, doesn't it? As an architect, you have to make a variety of decisions as you design a building or as you design a structure. But if you're a good architect, it's because you understand the principles and the rules of architecture, and you have decided to submit yourself to those principles and those rules. If you're a pilot and you fly an airplane, you have to make decisions. But pilots make their decisions based on the rules and principles of flight, right? They understand why things work and how things work, and then they submit themselves to those principles in order to make wise decisions. If you're a teacher, this applies. If you're an accountant, this applies. If you're in construction or engineering, this applies. If you're in the medical field, this applies. If you're in politics, probably a bad example, because I'm not sure any rules apply in that arena anymore, but that's a different sermon for a different time. But ultimately, to make wise decisions in any arena of life requires an understanding of and a submission to the principles and rules that govern that arena. Now, here's the thing. You and I, we do this all the time. This isn't something new to us. You and I do this all the time, at least those of us who are drivers. Because in order to be a good driver, you have to make good decisions, right? And a good driver is constantly making decisions, and a driver that's making good decisions is doing it based on an understanding and a submission to the principles and rules of driving. So we all do this all the time in every arena of life, in your industry, in your job, in parenting, in relationships. So you do this all the time in many, many areas of life. And in order to make wise decisions, you're drawing on the principles and the rules. And this is so, so important. You are both understanding what they are and you are submitting to them. You're both understanding what they are and submitting to them. An architect or a builder who understands the laws of physics, who understands what it takes to create a building that will stand, but decides not to follow those rules and principles, creates a building that doesn't stand. If you're an athlete and you understand the rules of the game, but you don't submit yourself to the rules of the game, then somebody's going to throw a flag or call a foul or kick you out of the game. So there's both an understanding side and there's a submission side, and we do this all the time in every arena of life. Now, here's why this is so important for us as Christians, and especially those of us who are trying to be followers of Jesus. We want to make wise business decisions, right? And all of that stuff. But what we've said over the last few weeks is we want to make wise life decisions. We want to know what the wise thing is to do, and we want to do the wise thing, especially if you're a follower of Jesus. Because if you're a follower of Jesus, you have been called to live at a higher level of wisdom, and not simply right and wrong, but beyond right and wrong. You and I, as followers of Jesus, we've been called to a higher standard. So here's how the principle applies to us. Wise life decisions require an understanding of and a submission to the principles and the rules that govern life. Wise life decisions require an understanding of, I know what it is, and a submission to, I'm going to follow through the principles and rules that govern life. So as we ask the question, what is the wise thing to do? It's not simply enough to ask the question. There's this last and final component that we have to talk about. Otherwise, the question, in light of my past experience, current circumstances and future hopes and dreams, it will lead you to understanding what wisdom is, but the goal is not simply to understand what the wise thing is to do. The goal is to do it, right? The goal isn't simply to understand, you know, what I should do as a driver, to understand what I should do as a builder, to understand what I should do as an athlete. The goal is to understand it and to do it. And so it shouldn't come as a surprise that the wisest man who ever lived, Solomon, whom we talked about a couple of weeks ago, the wisest man in the world in his time, who was a king, who was an architect, who was a writer and a musician, he had skills in multiple areas of life. The wisest man, Solomon, says that in order for us to make wise decisions, he says there is one component that goes beyond knowing what simply is the wise thing to do, and that is to submit to the one that established the laws and principles of life. And here's how he says it in Proverbs chapter 9. He says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That if you're at a place where you're thinking, you know, I love this question that we've been talking about. I really see the benefits of it. You know, I wish I'd been asking this question all of my life. I really wish I'd been asking it when I was in my 20s and 30s. I wish I'd asked this question before I took that job or before I made that financial decision or before I jumped into that relationship. Solomon says, if that's you, he says, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And fear in this context is simply this. It's the recognition of or the reverence for that leads to submission. It's the fear of the Lord is when you say, God, you're God and I'm not. God, you know more about my life than I know about my life. God, you know more about relationships than I do. You know more about marriage than I do. You know more about finances than I do. You know more about my husband and my wife and raising my kids. God, I believe that you know more about life than I do, and I'm submitting myself to you. Here's my entire life. And there are going to be times, God, that you require things of me that I don't understand, and there are going to be times when you require things of me that I do understand. And there are going to be times when you take my hand and you guide me through a detail, and I'm not going to be sure exactly what you're going to do, but at one point I'm going to be able to look back and say, oh, now I understand it. Now I get it. But regardless, I am submitting my life to you, God, who created me and knows me from the inside out. Because the only way for me to make wise decisions is to understand the rules and the principles of life, and then to submit myself to them. And that begins by submitting myself to the one who actually created the rules and the principles of life. So Solomon is saying the beginning of wisdom is not a question. The beginning of wisdom is the decision to submit yourself to the authority of your heavenly Father. And then here's what he says next. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Now, here's what's interesting to me as I think about this whole submission idea. Every single day, for those of us who believe that God created the earth and all that's in it, isn't it interesting that every single day we leverage and we use the way God created the world, and yet we resist submitting ourselves to the God who created that world. Every single day you interact with the laws of physics. Every single day you and I we interact with and leverage the law of gravity. And we leverage and we trust in the law of aerodynamics every time we get on an airplane, don't we? And all of these things that God created and set in motion, we trust these things and leverage them all the time. And here's my point. Every single day you leverage for your benefit the way that God made the world to work. So why wouldn't you submit to the God who made the world to work the way that it does? It's like when you go to the doctor and they go to check your blood pressure, and they know exactly where to go, don't they? They don't walk up to you and say, okay, I'm going to check your blood pressure. Now I've got to find out where to take it on you because it's different for everybody, right? And then they take out that blood pressure cuff and they put it on your ankle and that's not the right spot. And they put it around your knee and that doesn't work. And they put it around your wrist and that doesn't work. And finally, they find the right spot that's just the right spot just for you. It doesn't work that way, does it? They know exactly where to check your blood pressure because there's consistency in the design of creation. God did that. There's consistency in creation, and we're able to leverage it, and we're able to use it. It's why punters are able to punt a football. They don't wake up one morning and go, you know, gravity's at one level today, and tomorrow gravity's going to be at a different level. I'm going to have to figure that out. There's consistency in the way that God created the world to work, and every single day we leverage that for our benefit. And here's what I think Solomon may have had in mind when he said this second part. I think he might have had something like this in mind. Why would you not surrender your life to the God who created all the things that you leverage every single day for your benefit? I mean, why would you not do that? In other words, knowledge of the Holy One is what brings understanding. So here's the bottom line. You might want to write this down or snap a picture of the screen, but to make wise decisions in life requires submission to the Creator of life. To make wise decisions in life requires a submission to the Creator of life. Just like making a wise decision in any arena of life, in any area of life, you have to submit to the laws and principles that govern that area of life. In life in general, in order for us to make wise decisions, we have to submit ourselves to the Creator of life. So that's what Solomon said. But the interesting thing is that Solomon's father is actually the one who taught him that. And remember who Solomon's father was, right? King David. And King David wrote the very same thing that Solomon did. And here's how he said it over in Psalms 111. He said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He's saying the exact same thing, that wisdom begins with this reverence of God that leads us to submitting to Him. And then listen to his twist on this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow His precepts have good understanding. To Him belongs eternal praise. All who follow His precepts have good understanding. Now, this is important. All who follow, or all who say yes to the precepts of God. And a precept is simply a teaching, a principle, a law, a rule, a thou shalt or a thou shalt not. All who follow or obey or embrace God's precepts, they gain understanding, they gain a heart of wisdom. This was David's way of saying, sometimes you have to say yes to God even before you know what the question is. Sometimes you have to be in the yes position to God even before you know how it's gonna turn out. Sometimes you have to say yes to God even when you don't understand why he's asking you to do what he's asking you to do. That the beginning of wisdom, the starting point of wisdom in life as a follower of Christ is a big, unreserved capital Y-E-S. Solomon says, and David says, that the beginning of wisdom, that's the beginning of wisdom because you're saying yes to the one who established the laws and the principles that govern the universe and govern your life. Now, here's where you've got to make the decision. Because hopefully, as you've been following along, if you've been following along in this series, hopefully there's a hunger for wisdom in you. Because all of us have enough stuff already on our canvases that we just wish weren't there, don't we? And we look at that canvas of our life and the piece of artwork that we've already been creating for some time now, and all of us can say, you know, that piece would not be on there if I'd been asking and acting on this question, if I'd been doing the wise thing. If you're a parent, all of us want our kids to ask this question, don't we? Because we know it will lead them to a better future. So here's the question for the last time. In light of my past experience, my current circumstances, and my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing for me to do? And here's the challenge as we wrap up this series. Asking that question will clarify what you should do, but it does not guarantee that you will actually do it. Asking that question will bring lots and lots of clarity. In fact, it's so clarifying, sometimes we don't even want to ask it, do we? But asking that question will clarify what you should do, but it does not guarantee that you will actually do it. And doing it is what makes all the difference. To essentially, and this is scary, but to essentially just write a blank check of your life, to say, before I know and before I completely understand, God, I'm going to trust you. I brought with me this morning a paintbrush and to illustrate this with me as we wrap up. And as I hold this paintbrush in my hand, I just want you to imagine that you're holding one too. As you think about that canvas where you're creating that piece of artwork that's titled Your Life, and you're holding that paintbrush. And here's why. There's a sense that when we hit about 14 or 15 years old, at least by the time we're 16 years old, our hands are gripping tightly on this paintbrush, isn't it? And it's kind of our ways of saying, I can't wait for my parents to let go of my hand so that I can go and paint my life the way I want to paint it. I mean, that's just natural for all of us as human beings. We all go through that. The problem is, as we move into adulthood, we have our fist wrapped just as tightly around that paintbrush. And what Solomon has said and what David has said, what we know in our hearts to be true for many of us, is the only way for our canvas to look the way that ultimately we really want it to look. The only way that there is for that canvas to be what it really ultimately could be and should be is for us to begin to open our hand and say to God, not my way, but God, your way. God, I want to submit to your guidance. I want you, the master artist, to guide me as I create a work of art that is my life. And now, for some of us, and I get this, your life is kind of like this. Well, you know, I gave God that area of my life. And I gave God my kids because I can't control them anyway, right? And I gave God my husband because Lord knows somebody needs to give him to God. And I gave God this one area of my life. So to come to, but and God, you're not touching my career, and you're not touching my money, and you're not touching that this area. This is my habit, or this is my guilty pleasure. This is my one thing, and you can have the rest of my life, but God, you can't have this one thing. And your Heavenly Father, who loves you and who created you, who placed you on a planet that is specifically designed for you, says, look, you leverage the way I made the world to work every single day. And you trust the way that I made the world to work every single day. Why wouldn't you trust me with that part of your life? So here's what I want to how I want to close today. In just a minute, we're gonna sing our song of response. And as we sing, I want you to think about the words of this song that we're gonna sing. And as we sing, I want you to picture your canvas, your life, and what you're creating, and what you've been creating for maybe for years and years. And I want you to picture that paintbrush that's in your hand. And as we sing this song, and as we wrap up this series, my prayer is that you and I will make the wise decision. Because I don't want you, and I don't want me, I don't want us to stop with simply knowing what the wise thing is to do. I want us to make this wise decisions with our relationships, with our kids, with our morality, with what you do at work, with what you do in your neighborhood. I want you to look back on a life that's beautiful, and a life that you're proud of. And the only way to do that is come to a place where you say, Lord, I give my life for you. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this opportunity to just reflect on this very, very important question that we've been talking about for the last few weeks. Of in light of our past experience, our current circumstances, and especially in light of where we want to be one day, what's the wise thing for us to do? God, I thank you for Solomon. I thank you for the life as broken as it ultimately was. I thank you for the wisdom that you gave to him that he shared with us that we have today that we can learn from. But God, ultimately, in order for us to know the wise thing to do and then ultimately for us to do it, requires first and foremost for us to be in the yes position where it comes to you, where we trust you with all of our lives, where we give you every little corner of our lives and we say, God, take it and make it what it should be and what it needs to be and what you ultimately created it to be in the first place. So God, help us to do that. Help us to loosen that grip as we paint our lives, as we create the artwork that is our life. Help us to loosen that grip and to allow you to guide us through the process. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.